Muhammad. You are tuned in to The Watchman, Shedrick Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
Hip, hip, bob, to the socialize, issued rhythm, batter on the rise.
Damn, but El Pollo Loco. I'm not saying it right. They might be the gangsters of the week. They have exposed that Kentucky Fried Chicken is putting beef bouillon, beef fat, into the new chicken recipe. I caught my mother one day. I had just newly become a vegetarian. My mother's not a vegetarian. She can cook. And I was wondering why the vegetable soup, I mean, had a lot of flavor to it. Lo and behold, I took a spot over in the corner, and while she was still working on it, I had already sampled some. I saw those beef bouillon cubes. Now, I know some of you, especially you McDonald's fry lovers, you don't care nothing about that as long as it tastes good. Call yourself a vegetarian, you're eating beef. Soup still tastes good. So my mother, she was a member of the covert beef bouillon movement, people slipping in beef into, not chicken, I never heard of that. I never heard of people putting beef in chicken. This is what you got to deal with in 2009. Hashim Thabeet, from what I understand, the New York Knicks may be interested in drafting this brother. 7'3", from the University of Connecticut. First player from Tanzania in the NBA. 7'3", let's get acquainted with him.
The goal for me to come to the U.S. was to get education and go back help my family. You know, my dad passed at eight when I was age of 13, and I told my family, I'll find a good job, I'll go somewhere, get education, and come back and get a great job, and I'll take care of you. I feel blessed and honored. You know, I'll be the first Tanzanian to play, you know, professional basketball. I was the first Tanzanian to play Division I basketball, even though I came to the U.S. never thought I was going to play, but college basketball. I like my game to be like old school, like the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the Hakeem Olajuwon, Moses Malone, like those guys, because I think they was great at that time. I look at this as a challenge, you know. My dad, when he was alive, he told me, you know, everywhere you go, you're going to have to adapt and overcome stuff. And, you know, I've been living through that. And now, you know, I'm looking forward to go out there and, you know, just be ready to play.
Hashim Thabeet. Well, he'd be a New York Knick. I don't know. From what I understand, the 76ers are contemplating trading Samuel Dalembert. Praise God for his divine intervention, if that takes place. Radmanovic, I think. I'm not big on that. But if we can just move Samuel Dalembert along, let's just move on. Let me read a Phasia 9 medical update number 2, at least a good portion of it. This is on the website cuttingedgeknowledge.org. This is an update on the condition of Brother Jibril Muhammad, friend, companion, confidant, helper of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. We read a little bit about him, I think 2 weeks ago, in the book Closing the Gap. He is the one who interviewed Minister Farrakhan, who asked all those great, simple, and profound questions. Closing the Gap. Nice picture of both the minister and Jibril, who's not photographed very often. But this is from Savior's Day. That picture, it's up at blackelectorate.com. Maybe I'll throw it up here, you all can look at it. But he has a condition known as aphasia, a medical condition. Does not affect intelligence. I had to keep stressing this. Some people think, I mean, this just comes with the territory, I guess. people think that you are crazy because you've had a seizure or a stroke. Not the case. Aphasia does not affect intelligence. You can go to aphasia.org. But let me read this, get you updated quickly. It's the two of them together. This is Patina Muhammad, ND, CNC. This is written on June 14th, 2009. She says, in Aphasia 8 Medical Update Number 1, I wrote, in 2006, I was blessed to be present during some of the questions raised by Brother Jibril to Minister Farrakhan for the Closing the Gap book. The meeting between the two of them reminded me of that time period. I am referring to the meeting that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and Brother Jibril had on May 29, 2009 at the hospital. Many people were grateful for Aphasia 8 Medical Update Number 1, and some were very surprised. Some were surprised and wanted to learn more of what Brother Jibril is going through so that it may possibly help them in their health struggles. I felt the need to not only talk about my witness of Brother Jibril's health, but since Allah allowed me to see a small part of what Minister Farrakhan went through, I must state my witness of him too. In that May 29, 2009 meeting I witnessed between Minister Farrakhan and Brother Jibril at the hospital, Minister Farrakhan stated that his Savior's Day speech of February 2007, One Nation Under God, the confusion, the guidance, and the warning is still or is very significant. I want to elaborate on what I witnessed. I saw his words from a medical standpoint and as a follower of his. In 2006, I witnessed the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan go through extreme constant physical pain due to his health condition. I was blessed to see Minister Farrakhan every day for 2 months in Phoenix, Arizona. That was in January of 2006 and February of 2006, as he persevered in his illness. I again was blessed to see him for 3 more weeks in March of 2006 in Cuba. As a doctor, I'm not going into the circumstances under which I saw him in Phoenix, except I was a part of the delegation party in Cuba. On January 5th, 2007, Minister Farrakhan went through a 12-hour abdominal operation within approximately 7 weeks. After his major operation on February 25th, 2007, he made it to the Ford Field in Detroit, Michigan, and addressed a crowd of over 50,000 people. Allah and the person of Master Farad Muhammad filled Minister Farrakhan with his spirit. This was during his sickness and recovery period. It took him 6 continuous weeks to get that entire subject out of him. Did his doctors really believe that he would be able to make that event? Savior's Day 2007. Look at all of the interviews he did right after Savior's Day 2007, containing powerful wisdom that required tremendous energy to express. There were some people, including reporters, who did not believe that he actually went through a major 12-hour operation. Now, I'll say this parenthetically. This is me talking, Cedric. One of them was the brother Don Lemon on CNN. He could not believe that the minister had gone through what was described because of how well he appeared to be and how strong he bounced back. Okay, let me get back to Aphasia 9, Medical Update Number 2. Patina Muhammad writes, Brother Jibril said over the years, off of the rostrum, that you could tell time by studying Minister Farrakhan. Brother Jibril said at some point he would make a statement about that, Allah willing. I studied Minister Farrakhan and every word he spoke after his operation. What immediately came to my mind was 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, which reads, quote, But he said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness, end quote. That's the New International Version. The King James Version goes like this. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. I often think about why Allah permits some of us to go through what is called a near-death experience. I mentioned in Aphasia 8 that nobody goes through a near-death experience and comes out of it the same. How many near-death experiences did Minister Farrakhan go through? Why does Allah take his servant through near-death experiences? In simple terms, according to dictionary.com, a near-death experience is a frightening or threatening experience putting one at the brink of death. But there's much more to this. Some of y'all wondering why I have this hot K Slade beat underneath what I just read. Well, 50 Cent had a near-death experience. I believe he said that he knew God had something for him to do after surviving being shot 9 times. Now, let me get to what Jim Brown, pardon me. Shout to Jim, to JB, by the way, the announcer. Jim Brown, the football player, and James Brown, the announcer, have a manhood in common, I say. Let me play what Jim Brown said about the nation and the minister last night. I'll make a comment. There he goes. Jim Brown on Real Sports. Brian Gumbel, Bill Russell as well. Listen carefully to this, please.
FBI files obtained by Real Sports show that just 2 months after Brown's Ali draft meeting in Cleveland, the government began closely monitoring him as a suspected black extremist. One government informant even peddled a fictitious story that Brown boasted of burning down the houses of black conservatives in Mississippi. Real Sports obtained 12 separate reports that fixated on Brown's relationship with the black Muslims.
They were preoccupied, almost obsessed, with the possibility that you were a member of the Nation of Islam.
That was it. My thing was, I'm not doing anything wrong, so to hell with it. But when I got that information, what was so interesting was the informants, that they would black out.
Sure.
I think one of them was the National Secretary of the Nation of Islam.
Did you ever consider joining the Nation?
Not at all. Not at all.
Why not?
In the 60s and 50s, I thought they were very relevant because they were helping a lot of people come out of drug abuse and so forth and so on. But it was an extreme philosophy that to me would never work. They never tried to get me to become a member. And Mr. Farrakhan and his family are dear friends of mine. I know I'm going to be blackballed now. But they were beautiful human beings to me.
You say that of Farrakhan, even knowing some of the extreme things that he has said?
I can't judge him like that. Most people I judge by the way they treat me, I guess, you know.
Okay, let me give my 2 cents on what Jim Brown said. By the way, again, real-time applause for the closet black militant, Brian Gumbel, teeing up questions to promote his hidden ideology of black radicalism. Now, Jim Brown said that he felt the nation's philosophy was extreme, but he complimented and applauded the work being done cleaning up people in the community, etc. Now, this is a very common position. I mean, Jim Brown is not the only one who feels this way. He and Minister Farrakhan, he considers Minister Farrakhan a dear friend, family, etc. From what I understand, they're very good friends. Again, I love Jim Brown. Now, this part of the story, though, has to be told because one of the challenges for the black athlete or the black entertainer is how far are you willing to go? So from a consciousness standpoint, the relationship between athletes and the Nation of Islam in the 60s was like a litmus test or a barometer of how close you were to reaching a certain level of not just activism, but I would say building. Now, there's a difference, as I said earlier, between consciousness and activism, but there's also a difference between consciousness and activism, but there's also a difference between activism and institution building. Big difference. So you'll hear a lot of athletes make the point or make a statement about consciousness. And I saw this a lot with hip-hop entertainers and artists. They had a more radical ideology, but they were seduced by lifestyle, access to the Hamptons. So in the piece last night, you'll see that Jim Brown made a very successful move into Hollywood, did a great job in becoming an actor, and he enjoyed it immensely. Well, it's the same thing for athletes and entertainers today. Do you want social consciousness and gradual progress within the existing system, or are you willing to build something independent? It's a big, big difference. The two are not the same. If you are into social progress within the existing system, you are a reformer. You're just trying to reform as best you can and as positively and progressively as you can something that's already been built that you're a part of. That's a part of our personality. Not, we can't be radicals and revolutionaries all day long. So gradualism, reform, progress, these are all healthy elements of a personality. But what the enemy really wants to know is ultimately how close are you to deciding to do your own damn thing, for lack of a better phrase. You feel me? I mean, how close is Jigga to not just running Def Jam and making it a more artist-friendly record label? How close is Jigga to starting Jigga Jam? That's right, I said Jigga Jam. Not Def Jam, but Jigga Jam. Independent institution building, hold another ball game than just progress, gradual reform. You feel me? Say amen. Type it in if you understand the difference. Big difference. May not seem like it, but it is. And this is the difference between an activist who wants the system to be changed for the better, but is not willing to establish or build anything new that would compete with the existing reality. That's why there is no that's why there are Pan-Africanists, but there is no Pan-Africanist lobby. That's why there are black nationalists and people who are for black economic empowerment, but there's not a lot of black-owned banks, black investment banks, black venture capital funds, black private equity firms. There's a lot of people who want black talk radio to get better and to be improved, but there's not a lot of people that want to build a franchise or a chain of black radio stations. Do you feel me? I'm not trying to knock anybody. I just want to make a point that there is a big difference between something that we may not think there's a major distinction in. There's some people who want there to be a black president in America, and there's other people who feel it's just as big a deal that we have black leaders that run whole nations right now as best they can without the colonial influence. Let's leave that go for a minute. So some of us want the principle applied, not just in America. We want to experience it even if we had to go to a foreign land, or if we can just live it in our neighborhood. Independence is not consciousness. Institution building is not the same as being a progressive. Whole nother ball game. President Obama is a pragmatist. We'll get into that in a minute. Now, note how athletes used to gravitate toward the nation in the 60s and 70s, and compare that now today to what the rappers do. A lot of rappers you'll find will gravitate toward the nation. What's that all about? It gets back to what I said before. There's a difference between the athlete and how they are controlled from how the rapper is able to move a little bit more freely, closer to the community, and nearer to the embrace of radical ideas or more extreme views, so to speak, from the perspective of the mainstream of the dominant society or the majority population, okay? So it's more likely that a hip-hop artist today would be sympathetic towards the Nation of Islam than would an athlete. So Jim Brown's point shouldn't be dismissed or viewed as pro or anti-nation. I don't think that's what it is. What he's saying is that he recognized a level of progressive, transformative community development or building capacity in the Nation of Islam. He did not have an interest in other parts of the teaching. I'll get into why that is, particularly among black intellectuals. But man, if I had 100 Jim Browns, if we had 100 Jim Browns, our whole community would be in better shape. Now, let me play this one more time. Here's what Jim Brown says. Then I want to define a couple terms and cause us to think a little more deeply. Are we really institution builders? Is this totally not in our game? For instance, why hasn't Jim Brown or Bill Russell tried to start their own football league? Do you feel, you follow what I'm saying? Why wouldn't Jim Brown want to start a new football league where he could control or counteract the thinking or the control on the current athletes? It's one thing to tell a black athlete in private, look, brother, you need to be doing better. Look, sister, you can do more. You know more, you should do better. It's another to say, hey, look, I have my own league. You can get away from this nonsense with David Stern. We start our own basketball league. It may only be six cities, but we'll have our own league. Why couldn't Michael Vick go and play football anywhere else? Why was there this monopoly that Michael Vick can only play football one place on earth? So will there ever really be the kind of consciousness, progressive thinking, and freedom, and even equality, if you don't have the threat or the leverage of saying there is an alternative that can provide fame, fortune, and a platform to these young people? My position is, until you have an alternative, you're appealing just to the good nature of people. And you have to do a lot of teaching to really give them the idea and the concept that you want them to act on. It's the same with the public schools. I'm definitely for fixing the public schools, but I think we'd have a lot more leverage if there was a national chain of charter and private schools that were competing. And when I say private and charter, I'm not talking about vouchers to go to Catholic school. I'm saying community-controlled, community-built, private and charter schools alongside of public schools where the parents are involved. But see, to say that, though, you get caught up into a left-right-center debate that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. The way you get a good school is you get good teachers, you get discipline inside the school, and then you have, as I've said before, because I grew up for part of my life in military, in Department of Defense schools. I'm an Army brat. The reason why people did well in school on a military base is because the membership of the parents. To be a good standing member of the community, your children had to be behaving and doing well in school. I don't care about private, public, government, charter. That's irrelevant to me. If you can support a private school with the involvement of the community, a charter school with the involvement of the community, or a public school with the involvement of the community, you will get the same result. Well-behaved, educated students who have an opportunity to compete in the marketplace and to be good standing citizens when they leave school. That, to me, that's somebody else's fight. I can't get into the whole political left, I'm for private public schools, and I can't get into the whole political right, I'm for private schools. That's somebody else's fight. I like private schools and I like public schools. I want to run and control whatever and wherever my children are. You all want to get caught up in some political ideological fight, I will not be there with you. Let's take over public, private, and charter schools. That, to me, that's somebody else's fight. I can't get into the whole political left, I'm for private public schools, and I can't get into the whole political right, I'm for private schools. That's somebody else's fight. I like private schools and I like public schools. I want to run and control whatever and wherever my children are. You all want to get caught up in some political ideological fight, I will not be there with you. Let's take over public, private, and charter schools. Here's Jim Brown. There's a difference between being independent-minded and just being conscious.
FBI files obtained by Real Sports show that just 2 months after Brown's Ali draft meeting in Cleveland, the government began closely monitoring him as a suspected black extremist. One government informant even peddled a fictitious story that Brown boasted of burning down the houses of black conservatives in Mississippi. Real Sports obtained 12 separate reports that fixated on Brown's relationship with the black Muslims. They were preoccupied, almost obsessed, with the possibility that you were a member of the Nation of Islam.
That was it. My thing was, I'm not doing anything wrong, so to hell with it. But when I got that information, what was so interesting was the informants, that they would black out.
Sure.
I think one of them was the National Secretary of the Nation of Islam.
Did you ever consider joining the Nation?
Not at all. Not at all.
Why not?
In the 60s and 50s, I thought they were very relevant because they were helping a lot of people come out of drug abuse and so forth and so on. But it was an extreme philosophy that to me would never work. They never tried to get me to become a member. And Mr. Farrakhan and his family are dear friends of mine. I know I'm going to be blackballed now. But, they were beautiful human beings to me.
You say that of Farrakhan, even knowing some of the extreme things that he has said?
I can't judge him like that. Most people I judge by the way they treat me, I guess, you know.
Okay. Now, Jim Brown was joking about being blackballed. He has a good relationship with Minister Farrakhan, as he describes it. Close with his family. Beautiful. That's not my point. I could care less about personalizing it. He's saying it's an extreme philosophy that cannot work. Now, Cornel West also said this about black nationalism at Tavis Smiley's forum, I think in 2006 or 7. He said it was a pipe dream. Well, this is the question I have for people who believe that it's a pipe dream or it's an extreme philosophy that cannot work. How well is this working? As we talked last month, or maybe earlier this month, when we did a topic on starting your own business, people are saying, well, I have to get a job because I need to feed my children, make ends meet. I need to deal with what's urgent now, putting food on the table. Well, if you keep getting fired and laid off, is that a extreme position, extreme philosophy that can't work, or a pipe dream? There's a book out. We have a mutual friend. This author wrote a book. I think it's called Fired Up. Not sure. Person got fired and hired 3 different times in the same field, I believe. Now, how many times do you have to be fired or go through what you're going through for it to be illegitimate, extreme, to hold on to that position or a pipe dream? Now, we have a black president, but black unemployment is 14.6. This is my statement and my position on that. President Obama is right. Black unemployment was an issue well before the recession and well before he was president. We've had teenage unemployment numbers of around 40% ever since I've been alive. What will it take, though, for the black community to say, we're not going to vote for anybody unless they have a position on how to end black unemployment, whether it's through tax cuts, spending programs, whatever, educational initiatives? So the burden of responsibility, I just can't put it on President Obama. I can't. No president has ever encountered a black lobby that explicitly stated what the agenda items were for ending black unemployment. Never heard it, never seen it, never read about it. I've seen some local black power political initiatives like in Detroit and Newark get busy, but I've never seen a national agenda presented to any president that had any teeth behind it that said, this is how we want black unemployment ended. Now, what President Obama did that I like, he lifted up a program in Washington, D.C. that retrains black men, I think, who have been previously incarcerated or who have been unable to complete or unwilling to complete high school, gives them their job training, life skills, and a high school diploma, a GED. There's another program, I think, in New York, Senator Charles Schumer has praised it. What President Obama is hinting at is, why don't we put together a group of the best programs in the inner cities working with black men, and we'll back those programs directly. That was what he was hinting at. I don't know who caught that or who didn't catch that. Now, having said that, President Obama could do more than he's doing on that issue. He could. He knows better. He's seen it up close in Chicago. He knows some of these programs as a senator. But he's a pragmatist. Let me define some of these terms I'm using. What does it mean to be pragmatic? The word pragmatic comes from a Latin word, pragmaticus, which means skilled in law or business. Pragmaticus. Pragmatic means relating to matters of fact or practical affairs, often to the exclusion of intellectual and artistic matters. Practical as opposed to being idealistic. Again, pragmatic means relating to matters of fact or practical affairs, often to the exclusion of intellectual and artistic matters. Practical as opposed to idealistic. Comes from a Latin word, pragmaticus, meaning skilled in law or business. Well, he's a lawyer, and I'm an economist. I like pragmatists. If you write a business plan and your business plan is based on political ideology, I kick you out the room. Does it work? Is it efficient? Does it solve a need? Will people want this? Is the demand for it enduring? Will it last over time? Can the business run without your physical presence? So all that ideology goes out the window when you talk about investing money in something. Now, what does radical mean? Radical means, one of the meanings is designed to remove the root of a disease or a diseased tissue. How come nobody would call themselves a radical if it just means that you are designed or aiming to remove the root of a disease or a diseased tissue? You can't get radical and realistic solutions in politics, family. So if President Obama is a pragmatist, that means you had to make it practical, right? That means you have to make it a matter of fact. You can't make it an artistic or intellectual matter or an idealistic one. Speak his language. President Obama, we will give you X amount of votes, X amount of campaign dollars in return for you investing or giving a higher profile to programs that eliminate or go to the root of the disease called black unemployment. Now, I just said it. It's easier said than done. So I think it's good that April Ryan kind of jammed him up a little bit. Let me tell you what gradual means. Gradual, one of the meanings is moving, changing, or developing by fine, slight, or often imperceptible degrees. Moving, changing, or developing by fine, slight, or often imperceptible degrees. Now here's the question. Was President Obama's election a radical change, a pragmatic change, or a gradual change? Was it gradual? Was it pragmatic? Was it radical? See, many of you want to style it as radical, but black unemployment is about to be 15%. What has really changed if black unemployment is 15%? Why do you act like something has changed if it hasn't, if it's gotten worse? Now, isn't that an extreme predicament? Every problem that Jim Brown is working on is an extreme one. It requires a radical solution, even an extreme solution. Look up the word extreme. Bino has checked in. Bino says, amen. They're collecting the building fund now. Who would sponsor the new league? NBA or NFL, sadly, though. Nike wouldn't. Yeah, the new NBA or NFL is not going to be backed by Nike. I got bad news. I have a Nike hat on. It's a sign of solidarity, slight solidarity with Michael Jordan. Nike will not be paying for it. So guess what? It won't happen. This is why the black conventions are never self-funded. Look at the logos. It's the same corporations. No problem. As long as they don't dictate to you how to have in your event. But you know they do. So until the Congressional Black Caucus Convention is funded by black businesses as well as others, it's going to keep being what it is. Same with the NAACP, the Urban League. It's going to keep being what it is. Hashim Thabeet, some of you all are calling him a whack basketball player. Somebody sent in a note. It says, Thabeet is a relatively soft five, but he can get stronger in that regard. It's his personality. One thing about this guy that helps his development is that he has a short torso and can improve greatly in foot dexterity because of this. He will go in the top 10, but not before that versatile guy from Oklahoma and a couple of good point guards. Yeah, Blake Griffin is the truth. Truth with an F. Yeah, Hashim Thabeet is a little soft at times. That was Rod Guignard. Oh, Craig from Columbia sending a comment about Governor Sanford. No, I didn't know that. No, thank you. No more details, please, on Governor Sanford. Nick from D.C. says, peace. El Pollo or El Pollo Loco is the bomb. It is located on the West Coast. El Pollo Loco, the people who expose that Kentucky Fried Chicken is using beef, is the bomb. Nimba makes a comment about the single currency. I want to talk about that next hour. Now, let me give you the best answer I ever heard about moving from a gradual, patient, pragmatic position to one more radical, extreme, and equally pragmatic. Minister Farrakhan on Meet the Press, 1997, Tim Russert. Listen how we go from something that's gradual and less radical to an extreme position. Best answer I've ever seen spontaneously given on a show like this.
In preparing for this interview, I read the literature that your organization puts out and publishes, and I'd like to go through some of it to find out what you believe and how it affects America. This is your newspaper, which comes out once a month, and on the back page,
once a week,
and the back page is the Muslim program, What the Muslims Want. And if I could go through a few of these, let me put one on the screen and get your reaction. The first is in terms of territory. And you'll see, since we cannot get along with them in peace and equality, we believe our contributions to this land and the suffering forced upon us by white America justifies our demand for complete separation in a state or territory of our own. Is that your view in 1997, a separate state for black Americans?
First, the program starts with number one. That is number four. The first part of that program is that we want freedom, a full and complete freedom. And the second is we want justice, and we want equal justice under the law, and we want justice applied equally to all, regardless of race or class or color. And the third is that we want equality. We want equal membership in society with the best in civilized society. If we can get that within the political, economic, social system of America, there's no need for point number four. But if we cannot get along in peace after giving America 400 years of our service and sweat and labor, then of course separation would be the solution to our race problem.
Now let me build on this. Who's more extreme? Who's more radical? I'll say extreme, I don't say radical. The person who after 400 years tolerates an unemployment level of 15%, or the person who says, you know what, after 440 years of this, Trent from Asbury Park keeps track of the actual days that we've been in this mess. who's more extreme? The person who tolerates 15% unemployment with a black president, or the person who says, you know what, after 440 years of this, it's not, doesn't look like it's working too well. We'd like for it to work. So what we're going to do is we're going to try something new over here. If you can support it, thank you. Just won't bother you. You don't bother us. Let's try something new. I mean, who's really radical? Who's extreme? I'm going to run this back again. I mean, I couldn't believe the black unemployment numbers when I saw them. Leave President Obama alone. you have never dealt with this problem. And the president is giving you big hints. There's a program in D.C. I like. I mean, this is his M.O. President Obama has been the same. He's a pragmatist. He's a gradualist. He's a moderate. He will not do something unless you force him to do it or unless it's coming from a powerful position. He didn't speak out on Katrina as strongly as you wanted. He didn't speak out on black unemployment when the BET reporter asked him as strongly as you wanted a couple months ago. He didn't speak out on Sean Bell as strongly as you wanted a few months ago. He didn't speak out on Don Imus the way you wanted. When are you going to get the point? This is his style. This is the MO of Barack Hussein Obama, our president. My man. He is not going to enable lazy people to get what they want without working for it. Now, man to man, yeah, he could do more. He should do more. That's how I feel. But I like this. Because he's not going to allow himself to be used as the excuse for pushing through a bunch of radical revolutionary stuff that you all didn't have the heart, that we didn't have the you know what to organize ourselves around. Leave Barack Obama alone. We are the laziest people. Want President Obama to come up with these radical positions on Africa. And there is no Pan-Africanist lobby. I almost cursed. Get up out of here, I'll say. Get up out of here with that. John Conyers deliberately muted the discussion on reparations for 2 years, I know for a fact. He did not want reparations coming up when there was a campaign with a black president involved, and he did not want reparations coming up after there was a black man in office. So what do you expect? Other than this ridiculous scenario with the Congressional Black Caucus and the NAACP are at variance over the language of a apology from Congress. 440 years, you get your first apology. You happy with that? Who's the real extremist? Who's the real party holding on to something that won't work? Is it the Nation of Islam, or is it 36 million of us who insist that this is gonna get better when it is not? 15% black unemployment? Black unemployment, if black unemployment reaches 20% at the end of the year, what is that saying? I'm gonna run this back again. The very best answer I've ever seen in my life spontaneously. Minister Farrakhan is saying yes. We would like for these principles to be enjoyed by our people with other people. People of all classes, creeds, and colors. We want this to work. We're open to it. But it has to be based upon principles. It can't be an unprincipled, unaccountable relationship. We want freedom. We want justice. We want equality. We're willing to enjoy it with you. But if after 400 years, this does not seem to be possible, what should we do? It's the same with you all losing your jobs or getting fired. How many times do you have to get laid off before starting your own business or helping someone with an existing business? As the great Edmund Mann says, hitching your boat to a star. Do I have the teachings of Ed McMahon? Let me move from the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad as represented by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Let me move from those teachings. To the teachings of Ed McMahon. These are the teachings of Ed McMahon.
I want to thank the gentleman who shared this stage with me for 30 years, Mr. Ed McMahon.
That whole idea hook your wagon to a star. I really hooked my wagon to a star, and it was wonderful.
Why don't you hook your wagon to a small business in your neighborhood that could use your expertise? Why don't you put that little bit of money that you have left into a venture? Why don't you pull your money at your next family reunion coming up this summer? Why don't you start an investment club at your next family reunion rather than comparing notes about the bank loans that you didn't get? Okay, now, again, the greatest answer I've ever seen given spontaneously on a political talk show. 1997, I believe it was March. I don't think I have the exact date. Let me get the exact date. I don't know what it is. I think it was March 1997. Yeah, I give up quick. Let me run this from the top. Look at how Minister Farrakhan takes what is supposedly an extreme position and he flips it using the Muslim program, which is on the back page of the Final Call. A lot of people like to make fun of the Muslim program, but who's the real extremist? The great Tim Russert, by the way. I think it's been 1 year since he passed away. The great, the GOAT, greatest to ever do it on political morning talk shows, Tim Russert and Minister Farrakhan, 1997.
In preparing for this interview, I read the literature that your organization puts out and publishes, and I'd like to go through some of it to find out what you believe and how it affects America. This is your newspaper, which comes out once a month, and on the back page,
once a week,
and the back page is the Muslim program, What the Muslims Want. And if I could go through a few of these, let me put one on the screen and get your reaction. The first is in terms of territory. And you'll see, since we cannot get along with them in peace and equality, we believe our contributions to this land and the suffering forced upon us by white America justifies our demand for complete separation in a state or territory of our own. Is that your view in 1997, a separate state for black Americans?
First, the program starts with number one. That is number four. The first part of that program is that we want freedom, a full and complete freedom. And the second is we want justice, and we want equal justice under the law, and we want justice applied equally to all, regardless of race or class or color. And the third is that we want equality. We want equal membership in society with the best in civilized society. If we can get that within the political, economic, social system of America, there's no need for point number four. But if we cannot get along in peace after giving America 400 years of our service and sweat and labor, then of course separation would be the solution to our race problem.
You tell me, is that extreme? 15% unemployment, maybe 20% unemployment. We have a black president. Is this working? I dig President Obama's answer, and I dig April Ryan's question, to be quite honest with you. I dig both. Both with an F. Because April Ryan has the right to confront the president of the United States, whether he's black or not, about this mess. She called it bloodletting. A nice hairdo again, April Ryan. I must friend you on Facebook or something to let you know. Little surplus on the makeup, but you look beautiful. The new do is working for you. Great question you asked President Obama. My beloved brother, President Obama, you are smooth as always. Smooth as always. You are consistent as always, Brother Obama. You are not going to become a black nationalist overnight to suit these lazy people. I feel you. I support you to no limit. I'm with you, President Obama. Don't let these lazy people make you do something that they didn't cause President Clinton to do. Up here enjoying him playing the saxophone. By the way, does President Clinton play the alto or the tenor sax? My grandfather played the alto sax. The great Ernie Watts plays the tenor sax. From the top, April Ryan, Trent from Asbury Park. Well, you know what? We'll save this for the break, because Trent gets on me when I don't hit my hourly breaks. Hourly intro for hour number five. Great show today. Send in your comments. We'll finish strong. I'm going to try to get to this Street Sweeper Social Club album. It's the hottest show in the diaspora. Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program, June 24th, 2009. blackelectorate.com, blackcoffeechannel.com, cedricmuhammad.com. Let's go.
Cedric Muhammad.
Now, some of you may know that the most likely people to go to prison in this country today are young African-American men, right? A few years ago, there was a report that was done by the Sentencing Project indicating that about 25% of all young men between the ages of, 18 and 24 or so were incarcerated. 25%. That was, I think, in 1991. A few years later, the Sentencing Project did a similar report and discovered that within 3 or 4 years, the percentage had soared to over 32%. And by now, that percentage has probably gone up. So we're talking about over one-third of all young black men in this country in prison or directly under the surveillance and control of the criminal justice system. Now, something is wrong with that.
Yeah, Pat,
don't you think?
Trey, my revolution started when the millennium started, not the year, street sweepers. Come on.
Living in a world of broken dreams, heartaches and pain. Trying to figure it out along the way. I don't change, but there's so much to lose and so much to gain. Said I'm finally hard, just to maintain.
The money getting so much shorter now. When I got me a lady, daughter now, time I turn my life around.
They call the black man an ape. They say we resemble gorillas when we gain weight. They say we 3/5 of a man. Get it straight, pack pulse, educate. At the same time, they release the movie King Kong where they kill a black ape. They kill Cookie Williams out in California State. Am I jumping to conclusions or is it fact proven that they use movies to imitate what they're doing? They gave him the death penalty for killing them. Who gon' give them the death penalty for killing him? It's contradiction. Is Son of Sam out of prison or is he in jail? Is Charles Manson not a villain? Sammy the Bull admitted to a lot of killing, but they let him live cause he did a lot of snitching. Read the German language, maybe your mind is that quicker. The definition of Schwarzenegger is black nigga.
Watchmen, Cedric Muhammad, and the Black Coffee Channel.
I could go a lot deeper on that point, but some good comments coming in. Let me make way for that. I want to talk about the West African Monetary Zone, why they're having such a problem getting that single currency started. Nimba from Cote d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast, sent me a comment on that, which I want to, related to that, which I want to read. But, man, I just love the way the minister answered that question. I mean, and Tim Russert thought he had something, which he probably, for most of us probably couldn't even handle a question like that. We probably start itching, shuffling. The minister flipped it. He said, that's point number four you started with. I think Cameron, let me see, Cameron from Paterson, New Jersey. By the way, if you haven't already joined our fan, the show fan page, I don't like that word fan. You all are listeners or viewers or commentators, you're not fans, but that's Facebook language, and we are all practicing the religion of Facebook anity. So, become a fan of the Facebook page. We do post-show notes every week as a recap of what was discussed. And you all are the star, if you haven't noticed. So join, when you go to Facebook, you type in Cedric Muhammad, you get my personal page, and you get the show logo, the star, not the star, but the crescent. The crescent. Hit the crescent. Become a fan of that, you get all my stuff related to the show. If you all want to talk amongst yourself, as long as you stay on topic, that's what it's there for. But Cameron from Paterson, New Jersey, who's a star of the post show notes, he says, what up, Sed? He says, I hope all is good. I caught the end of your question and would answer that Obama's election is gradual change. It only took close to 40 years, that's all. The perception may be radical, but the idea has been on the table so long, all parties had time to adapt. I agree Obama is a pragmatist. We know the effect that attending educational institutions has on us. As much as he wants to change, he will use logic to achieve it. The problem with logic is it can neutralize favoritism and make others angry. Ooh. Man, Cam. Man. Cameron goes on. He says, Sed, I love how the minister didn't allow Tim Russert to define his position. The minister exposed that the information was being misused and the viewer was being misinformed. Cameron is so on point. Not only did the minister go deeper into the Muslim program than Tim Russert did, the minister also reminded Tim Russert that the final call comes out every week, not every month. Did you all catch that? So Minister Farrakhan was fact-checking as much as he was enlightening.